Hello, Lighthouse Church family. Pastor Joel here. Just wanted to say thank you for tuning into another of our sermon podcasts. Hope there's a word for you today. Now, let's jump into your weekly dose of godly teaching for you.
Let's just give a hand. I'm going to call Pastor Mike Welch. Come, brother, minister in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just thank the Lord. Just been in the last little while that we connected, and I just thank God for the connection. It's like we're brothers. Yeah. We've known each other all our life. Let me give you a hug. Yeah, absolutely. It's yours, brother. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. Praise God. Thank you so much for having us, hosting us, helping us yesterday with worship in the wild. I tell you, it was just an amazing day yesterday. We were so blessed. Praise God. This iPad should turn this way. That's a good. Technology is wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. And where are you, Sheila? Sheila. Sheila Gom texted us last Sunday, and she says, hey, Pastor David said you're coming to our church next weekend. Praise the Lord. Sheila, almost 30 years ago. Okay, we're getting younger. Praise the Lord. 30 years ago, Sheila taught my daughter in Christian school when we lived down here in St. Catharines a couple of years coming to Bible school. So it's awesome to see you. It's awesome to see people. We had so much and so many great memories from around this area. In my early days, when I'd be in, like, talk 1994, I don't even say for a few years, like 3 or 4 years, but the Lord quickly got us into ministry, and we were down here in Bible school, but I toured this whole area doing men's full gospel businessmen meetings all over from Hamilton, Port Coburn, and Grimsby. Up Grimsby, we had the most amazing, amazing service. And just over and over, all over, we're just seeing God's hand and miracles moving all over this place. And it really taught me how to move in the signs, wonders, miracles of God. And just see and let Jesus be Jesus, amen? Let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And so it's awesome. So, Pastor David, thank you so much. It's been, like Pastor David said, we just connected and started back and forth, emails, phone calls back and forth. And I said, brother, we're so like faith. When he started mentioning the cross, when he starts mentioning everything revolves around the cross, you know, your faith starts with the cross and your faith ends with the cross. Amen? I tell you, whenever, come on, give Jesus a big hand. Hallelujah. Praise God. And just before I get into the word a little bit, you know, we're here with CCR, Canadian Christian Writers. Ta-da. Right? Praise the Lord. These folks are here with us. And just stand up, Canadian Christian Writers. Stand up and just thank you so much for traveling with me, being with us all. It's Colette, you should have stood up. You're a Canadian Christian Writer. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go. And we came down for the worship in the wild and for here and for the car show afterwards. It's just been a wonderful time. In Canadian Christian Writers, we're in our 11th year right now. And God gave me a vision to start this ministry, I guess, 11 years ago. And it's just been such a blessing to be able to carry the witness and the word of God into people's lives and help people from cross denominations, different churches. We've been made up of all kinds of people from all kinds of churches. And it's just been so exciting. And these folks here are just so loyal and faithful. And Dawn and Justin, maybe you guys could stand up. These are the members we got from Niagara right now. There's two more members, Dawn's wife, Nancy, and another lady. And people are joining. People are excited. And even last, thank you. And even yesterday, we saw a lot of people excited and thinking. So if you've got a motorcycle, or you're thinking of getting a motorcycle, or you have a friend who has a motorcycle, you should tell them, go to CanadianChristianWriters.ca. Or come to the car show, and we'll have some cards and information that Dawn, to get in touch with Dawn, and join up. Because here's what I think. This is how I see it. You know, Jesus rode a donkey into Jerusalem. Amen? Paul rode horses and donkeys. Amen? So what are our motorcycles? They're just modern-day donkeys. Amen. They're just our tools to carry the gospel. And it's amazing when you show up with a motorcycle, how people let their guards down, and they actually, and they want to talk, and you can talk about Jesus. I just remember just a couple of years ago, the first ride we had in Ottawa, we went to the Tim Hortons. Simple ride, ride to Tim Hortons, have some coffees. And this couple was off to the side, and while we were there having coffee, fellowshipping, they didn't say anything. They just were watching, though. And it came to about 8:45, and we started pulling out, and everyone pulled out. And I was the last one there, but I was waiting on purpose because I've been watching this couple for a while. As everyone pulled out, I just went over to the couple and said, "How are you guys doing?" "Oh, not good. Business has gone bad. This was going bad." Well, I talked to them a little bit about Jesus, had the honor of leading both of them to the Lord in that Tim Hortons parking lot. Amen? And all it was the patch with the cross on the back. They let their guard down. And then someone cared enough to say, "How you doing?" And the husband, as I was leaving, he said to me, he says, "Mike, you changed our lives tonight." Amen? So it's more than a bike, and it's more than a patch, it's more than having fun. But whatever God gives you as a tool in your hands, in your life, use it the best you can. Use what God has given you. Use the gifts. God has given every one of you amazing gifts to minister and help people. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen? Come on. And I've been pastoring for and ministering for 35 years, pastoring for almost 30. And when I'm in my pastor mode at home, you know, I'm a pastor. But when I step outside of my home church, I like evangelism. I like soul winning. I like signs, wonders, and miracles. We always have signs, wonders, and miracles at home. But I like signs, wonders, and miracles. I like demonstrating and showing the power of God to people that Jesus is alive and Jesus is real. I'm believing for that today. How many people have a prayer need? How many people have been praying the last little while and say, "I need something from Jesus"? Amen? Well, I'll tell you, me, my wife, more me than when I go to the crusade fields and to some third world nations, but I've traveled the world. Over the years, I've seen so many parts of the world preaching this gospel. A great evangelist told me one time, before I even got into ministry, he says, "Mike, if you'll make your," listen to this, maybe this is for somebody. He says, "Mike, if you will make yourself available to Jesus, he will take you all over the world with his message." Amen? And I've seen that. But not just with his message, but with his miracles. Amen? I've been in the northeast corner of Thailand in the mountains, 4-hour drive up into the mountains to preach at a church. You know what? We showed up, and that little village in Thailand, a fever was going through that town. And that morning, in that little town, 4 hours in the mountains of Thailand, dangerous place to get to, all these mothers with their babies showed up, all burning up with fever. No hospitals, no doctors, no medicine. And we had the honor of laying hands on every baby. You got a baby, you know what I mean. Laid hands on every baby, and God instantly took the fever from every baby. Amen? Amen? And I thought to myself afterwards, because, you know, when you're riding in Thailand, hot weather, going up the mountains, I mean, you know, we have ruts sometimes in our roads, but we don't have 3-foot ruts deep, where you got to crisscross them this way and that way, and the truck goes like this as you cross over the ruts climbing a mountain. That's what we were on to get to this church service. But the very next morning, I'm meditating on this. I said, "Lord, what would have happened if we hadn't been there? All those children likely would end up mentally ill because the fever was out of control." And I was thanking God that he could take me to the northeast corner of Thailand, just off of the Burmese border, and minister in a church. Amen? God is amazing. He will take you to all kinds of places if you're available. You don't have to be called pastor. My friends, I started my Christian journey at 33 years old. I was a restaurant owner. I was a restaurant owner and I was a salesman for food. But one day, I'm reading my Bible, and the Lord says to me, I'm in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Great Commission. And in there it says, and a believer. A believer. Who's a believer here? Who's born again here? If you're born, and if you're not, give me 10 more minutes. I'll get you there. Amen? Praise the Lord. But here's what I read. I read, if you're a believer, Mark 16, 18 says, you can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Any believer, who's a believer? Every one of you have a ministry if you're a believer of healing. Every believer has a ministry of healing. See, we've made a big deal of certain things in the body of Christ. Well, you've got to be a right reverend twice over and a bishop and a right holy man and you before you can ever move with the power of God. Have you read your Bible? See, I found out as a restaurant owner with no Bible school, with no title, that I could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. Amen? And when I read that one night, I was at I was actually the president of Men's Full Gospel Businessmen in my town, and I was expecting a bunch of people to come, and I said to the Lord, I just need something to tell these guys when they show up. And this is what he told me. Any believer can lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen? And I just started in my restaurant, little town restaurant, 60-seat restaurant in a small town of Dundalk, Ontario. I started laying hands on the sick. And all of a sudden, I saw people getting healed. I never forget the day this mom, we knew her a little bit, heard something about us praying for the sick. And I was just about to close my restaurant. She came in with her 8-year-old boy. 8-year-old boy. Healthy and strong, except he was diagnosed with glaucoma. And he was going blind. Well, I was just fresh with this, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. So I remember that day, as if it was yesterday, I just pulled out a chair in my restaurant. I sat down. I sat him on my lap. I laid hands over his eyes. And I commanded glaucoma, loose this young boy and let him go. Amen? Come on. Come on. 2 weeks later, the mom comes in the restaurant. She is happy. The doctor was mad, and she was happy. She says, I went to the doctor. He had all the tests. He had all the proof. He had everything all documented, how my son had glaucoma, and he had an 8-year-old with a cataract. I never heard of such a thing. He had a cataract, too. And she says, I went to the doctor. He could not find any glaucoma whatsoever. Amen. Amen. And we started believing this way. We started believing this way in our little restaurant in the town of Dundalk. And my pastor came to me one day and he says, Mike, it was called the Junction Family Restaurant. He says, you should change this name from the Junction Family Restaurant to the Junction Evangelical Family Restaurant. Because he says, you have more ministry going on in this restaurant than most people have going on in their churches. I said, that's the way it's supposed to be, though, I think, Pastor. Amen? We'd have people who would come, and we'd have a little counter with stools, and they'd be sitting on those stools, and our waitresses would say, can I get you something? No, I'm just waiting for Mike to have a break and cooking so he can pray for me. Amen? It was healing in the kitchen, deliverance in the back alley. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is how I cut my teeth in ministry. Before I went to Bible school, but when I was just a believer, I was no title, no name. I started ministering. I believe that's what God opened the doors for us. Amen? Now, I want to talk to you today for a few minutes about healing. You know why I like talking about healing? Because I have a captive audience. Every one of you need it. I don't know of anybody who lives on this world who hasn't needed healing, isn't needed healing, or isn't going to need healing, me included. Why? Do you know we live in an evil world? Can I say that word in church? People kind of shudder when you mention the word evil. But we live in an evil, fallen world system. Amen? Sickness, disease, viruses, poor nutrition, poisons, all the different things that are out there that we have to live through. We have to consume the food. I mean, it's great to be away on the weekend. It's great to be traveling with all these guys. But, you know, between Tim Hortons and McDonald's and all the other food you consume on the weekend when you're traveling like this, you know, I don't think it's good for you. I'd much rather have my AG1 food supplement on every morning and my vitamins every morning, but it just doesn't work so well when you're traveling. So when you're traveling, you're out with all... Well, it's not good for you. And yet we still eat it, don't we? And I don't think there's anything wrong with it in moderation. But all the challenges that we have in life, all the challenges out there, there's such a need for healing. And I'll bet you there's a need in this crowd right here. I'll bet you there's some miracles needed today. Amen? Well, I never forget the one time that young fella came to me. He was a homosexual. We'd known him for many years. He'd gone home to be a homosexual, decided he was a homosexual. Didn't want to hear anything about Jesus till he was diagnosed with AIDS. Then he wanted to see me. So what did I do? What do you do when a homosexual comes to you diagnosed with AIDS? I said, so what do you have to do next? Well, I got to go for a second test. I got the first one confirmed. Now I got to go for a second test. I said, I'll take you there. I'll take you to the test. And before he went in for the second test, I said, but whoa, wait. I need to lay hands on you so you won't have AIDS anymore. I laid my hands on him in the car. Prayed for him. He went and got the second test. Guess what it came back? Negative. He didn't have AIDS. Amen? So healing is a great act and sign of God's incredible love and your love for the people. When you will pray for everyone and everyone, when you'll just lay hands on people and believe for people to be healed, I tell you, it shares the love of Jesus like nothing else you could do. Amen? So I want you to see how important it is today. Praise the Lord. I've got a little, Pastor David's got a few copies of this book too, but I brought my book with me. And this, I'm not going to spend much time with this. I talked about it last night. But in 2011, I had a very, very serious illness. Almost went to heaven. Here's the funny thing. My first time I testified, I said, I almost died. Which, in the natural, I almost did. I was on the hanging between the balance of staying on earth or going to heaven. And I was in front of, 500 or 600 people. And they asked me to share my testimony. And I said to them, and I almost died. Well, I tell you, the Lord would have nothing to do with that. After I got off stage, I sat down. The Lord says, don't, watch this, listen. Don't ever tell them you almost died. I said, what? Well, I did. They want to put me on life support. 2 hours is missing in my life, and the report said respiratory failure for 2 hours. Not breathing for 2 hours is not good. You know? And the Lord says, here's what the Lord said. I want you to get this now. He says, don't ever tell people you almost died. Here's the words of the Lord. You had no dying to do. The decision was when you're going to spend a bit more time on earth or come to me in heaven. But he said, all the dying you did happen on the day of your salvation. Talk about change your whole attitude in life. And so now when I give my testimony, yes, I was really sick, just teetering between heaven and earth. Amen? But I had no dying to do. Isn't that something? Do you know the greatest thing the devil uses against human beings? What's the greatest thing that the devil uses against human beings? Fear. We all know that, don't we? Fear. Do you know Hebrews 2:14 says, all fear. Say all fear. Not some fear. All fear is rooted in the fear of death. Well, you know what I found out? I had no dying to do. If you have no dying to do, you got no fearing to do either. Amen? Do you ever someone says, oh, I'm scared of flying. You're not scared of flying. You're scared of crashing and dying. I'm scared of heights. No, you're scared of falling and dying. I'm scared of water. No, you're not. You're scared of drowning and dying. Amen? Praise the Lord. What if you could get rid of that fear and know the day you got born again, you did all the dying you're going to do? Now it's just a decision of how much longer we stay on earth and when we get to go to be with Jesus. Can you see how attitudes in life could change? Well, what happened to me, I had a visitation from the Father. Second night in the hospital, I had a 4 hours with Jesus. That's the title of the book. And what the Lord taught me in these 4 hours was so amazing. But the most amazing thing he taught me and showed me and demonstrated me was his unconditional love he has for me. Amen? Unconditional. Unconditional means there is no conditions. Do you know the phenomenal thing about God? And a lot of people don't like to talk this way, but do you know God loves people of every religion, every tribe, every nation, every culture, good, bad, and ugly? He loves everybody just as much as he loves you. And it goes even further, as much as he loved his own son, Jesus. Do you know that? Unconditional love. What if you knew, one, I got no dying to do. And what if you knew, two, I am unconditionally loved by God. Nothing I've ever done, nothing I'm doing today, nothing I'll do tomorrow can ever, say ever, ever, never, 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 ever. That's the amplified version. Stop God from loving you. What if you knew that every morning you got up, you were unconditionally loved by God, no matter what? That you could never, ever do anything on this earth to stop God from unconditionally loving you. What would that do to your attitude? What does it just feel like right now? Because, you know, we have a world that loves to put us down, push us down, push us down. You're bad. You're bad. You're not going to make it. It's so hard out there. It's so this. It's so that. Well, what if you countered it with the truth of God's word? What if we countered the lies of this world with the truth of God's word? What if we really believed the truth of God's word over every social media, news organization, education system, every aspect of this world? What if we just said, yeah, but Jesus said this? What if we actually took what Jesus said a Christian is and believed it with all of our heart? And like Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you can't turn to the left, you can't turn to the right, you definitely can't look back. You got to keep your hands to the plow. What is that plow? The plow is the word of truth. The plow is the truth that we live by. And he says, if you live by that truth, you'll draw a straight line all the way to heaven and be blessed, healed all along the way. Amen? See, these are the things I found out over my 35 years of serving the Lord. I found this out. And you know how I found it out? I'm an extreme reader of the Bible. I talk to pastors and they ask me, well, what about your devotions? I tell them how I read my devotions. I believe in reading this Bible cover to cover every year. I've been doing it for over 30 years. Somebody said, what, cover to cover? Oh, how can you do that? Well, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, you read this thing through every year. It's not hard. Amen? You know, if worse comes to worse, read it in the commercials while you're watching TV. I don't care how, but get this word in you. Take 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes at night and get this whole word into you. Change your life forever. You know, Pastor David is heavy duty on prayer. I know that, but you be heavy duty on prayer too. Make sure you're a prayer person. All these things will change your life. But see, even right now, some of you are saying, "Oh, yeah, but I know, Pastor. I know this Pastor. I know, I should be doing this, but you don't know how busy I am." Nah, that doesn't cut it. 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, maybe 20 minutes of prayer. It's only an hour of 24. And you could see your life radically changed. Peace and joy, unconditional love, purpose, anointing, faith. You know, faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. What do the Amplified Version say? And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God. Amen? If you can hear the Word of God as you read it every day. You know, Psalm 45:1 says that the tongue is the ready writer of the heart. Amen? So when Pastor Dave or any other pastor or myself, we're preaching today for a few minutes. But can I just tell you, that's not enough. All the other days of the week, who is your preacher? It be you. You be the preacher of your life. You be the prophet of your own life. How do I do that, Pastor? You read your Bible out loud. You take that 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes, and just read that Bible with a soft voice. Read that Bible so your ears can hear you reading it. And you become the apostle, the prophet, the preacher of your life. You see faith rising up inside of you. Your life gets radically changed. Amen? When we stop making excuses and stop being so busy, we actually take the time to do what's the most important thing in our lives. You know what happens? God transforms. God changes our lives for the better. And you know what? In my ministry, you can just call me Mr. Simple. My whole life, my whole motto, I have signs in my church, keep it simple, saints. Our church, our ministry runs on the KISS principle. Amen? The world's got messed up, but we got it right. Keep it simple, saints. Just do it. Just do it. No excuses. If I told you, if you would just spend 20 minutes in the Word in the morning, 20 minutes in the Word at night, and 20 minutes in prayer, if I told you that at the end of the year, there's $1 million check going to be deposited in your bank for doing that, how many people would do that? What would the rest of you do? How much would I have to pay you? Amen? $1 million is a good start. Amen? But can I tell you something? Your reward at the end of a year would be so much. Oh, they're handing out $1 million bills now. Look at these guys. We were giving away $1 million bills at the Worship in the Wild. But see, here's the key. The reward to your life would be so much, worth so much more than $1 million. Your transformed life would be so much more than worth $1 million at the end of that year. You would never, ever go back to the old way of living. And it's so simple. You say, Pastor, how could it be that simple? 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night, 20 minutes of prayer. It's that simple. Am I right, Pastor David? It's not complicated to be a Christian. It's the easiest life on this whole earth to be a Christian. Religion has messed it up. But Christianity is beautiful. Amen? Praise the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to just believe. Believe God like never before. Amen? The few minutes I have left, and I know I only have a few minutes left, but you know, when I come to a church, I have all my notes here and everything like that, but very seldom do I ever use them. Because I find the Lord says to me, this has been going on for years, he says, when you go to a church, just encourage the people to believe. Be an encourager. Tell them it's going to be okay. Tell them how to do it simply, how to keep it simple. Just encourage the people to believe me, to know me and get to know me, because that changes a life. If any person makes a choice today, I'm going to do that. Say, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to become the preacher and prophet of my own life. I'll come to church. I need a church, but I'm going to take responsibility for my salvation, for my Christianity. I am going to take responsibility today. Amen? Your life will be changed. Your life will be radically changed. In 3 months, you will not recognize yourself. Amen? But see, what I wanted to talk to you about, I've really been on topic, but in a roundabout way. I want to talk to you about healing. But not just a miracle healing. I want to talk to you about a lifestyle of healing. What I've been really talking to you is about how living for Jesus every day will bring the manifestations of healings, deliverance, the blessing of God. You know, there's a few things we just have to do, and all of a sudden things start happening. In 2011, literally, I was in ICU for 5 days. My heart had been beating for 195 beats a minute for over 12 hours. That's physically impossible. They told me your heart should be shot. You should be looking for a heart transplant because it's physically impossible a human heart can beat that much. I had my heart paddled twice. They gave me injections twice to try to stop my heart, hoping it'd start up again. They stopped my heart, but it just picked right up at 195 beats a minute. They had all this stuff was going wrong, and everything was wrong. But you see, I'd worked, I'd practiced, I'd lived what I'm teaching you for all these years. I was 54 years old 14 years ago, but I've been at it for a long time. And I had my faith built up. And so when the crisis came, my wife was standing at my side. The doctors were telling her, I think we got to put him on life support. We don't know if he's going to make it or not. And I was weak. But in the process of the weakness, I was delirious. I knew it was bad. But can I tell you, I had no fear. There was no fear whatsoever. There's no fear of dying. The grace of God was sufficient. It was amazing. I was actually joking. You know what I said? I was about lying on this bed for like 6 or 7 hours in emergency. And I said to the doctor as he was watching him, he says, I really got to go to the bathroom, I said. I said, I got to go to the bathroom. You know, 6, 7 hours I've been lying on this bed. You know what he said to me? He says, Mike, if you sit up, you die. Because my heart was beating so fast that if I brought my heart up like this, the blood flow would just rush so much, he says, it'll just explode your heart. So I said, I don't think I have to go that bad. And I laid back down. It's amazing. But the peace of God, the grace of God was there. No fear whatsoever. And then I said to Linda, my wife, I said, Linda, God lives inside of me. Watch this now. Because, see, I walked with God for a long time. I said, God lives inside of me. I said, Linda, just put your hand on my chest. Command me to be healed. Of course, she's my wife, and she knows my faith, and she agreed with my faith. And although it looked terrible, it looked so bad, she put her hand on my chest, and all she says, I command Mike to be healed. in Jesus' name. Now it got worse after that. So I hate to tell you this, but it got worse. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after I was gone somewhere for 2 hours, I opened my eyes and I said, "He's coming back." Amen. And I came back. And you know, here's the deal. I'm 68 right now. And for 5 days after, in ICU, they brought the big EKG, I think EKG, big machine in to check my heart. And I kept that after a couple days, and why are you doing this every day? And they said, "Well, because it's physically impossible that your heart is perfect. It's physically impossible. No heart can withstand what your heart went through." But see, in the midst of it all, God kept me safe. God kept my heart right. And I got my miracle. You know, that's what happened. And I'm 68 years old, perfect health. I'm stronger, I'm better, I'm healthier than I was at 54. Amen? Now, and I wish I could tell you I exercise every day, I eat everything right, I do everything right, but I don't. I do my best, but then I rely on the grace of God. And this is what I want to teach you about, the unconditional love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. But you and me, we have to learn to trust Him. Trust in the Word to be true. Live out our lives for Jesus. Amen? And if I just put this challenge to you, because I know you guys are Word Church. I know I heard pastors praying in tongues on Sunday morning. Pastor, who prays in tongues on Sunday morning anymore? Amen? But I love it. I love it because it's a faith church, a Word Church. And you're like, you're not hearing anything from me you haven't heard from your pastor for years. Amen? But I'm not here to bring something. I'm just here to encourage you. Believe what pastor's saying. Amen? Believe what this says in this church every week. Amen? This is what I want to encourage you with today. I want to encourage you. Do it. Do what you know to do. Don't make excuses. Don't let anyone else take you away from what you know what to do. Don't let people influence you away from the simplicity of living your life for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I have to come back again and preach this sermon sometime. I didn't quite get to it, but that's okay. Amen? Praise the Lord. It was good. Don't worry. It was good. I just didn't get to it. Amen? But are you encouraged? Are you encouraged today? This is real stuff. This is real life Christianity. This is what I've been living for 35 years. This has served me well. And I talked to some people once, and I said, you know what? No regrets. Pastoring for 35 years, living for Jesus, seeing all this stuff, and I could go on for hours with all the different miracles we've seen, all the different deliverances, all the different miracles all over the world. Amen? We've seen it. I could go on for hours. And sometimes I have, but not today. But I'm telling you, it's all real. If I could just encourage you to tie into Jesus in the simplicity I've talked about and watch Him change your life for the better. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I know we're under a time restriction, and I guard the time, and I honor the time of the house wherever I go. So, Pastor, do you want to come? It's 11:30 and explain what has to happen next, and then we can follow up. We can keep going.
So here's what we need to do. If you are parked in the parking lot, it needs to be cleared now. So if you could move your car, the reason being is we have a bunch of cars coming in, and they need to fill the entire parking lot and then some. All right, so we've got tables and stuff going out. Here's what we're going to do. If you have to leave because your car is in the parking lot, go do it now. What we're going to do, I really want for there to be an application of the Word this morning. So those of you, there's only the drivers need to leave. Not everybody has to leave, just the drivers. And then what I want there to be ministry taking place according to the Word. Mark 16, it says they will lay hands on the sick. Those that believe, they'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So we're going to have ministry here. If you need to go, you're not going to be taking part in the Wow Wheels of Wonder car show and barbecue. You're free to leave, but I want that there's ministry done here. So we've got about 25 minutes at 12 o'clock. Just so you know, where's Daniel? Daniel's outside. There was an invitation that went out to our mayor, and he's broadcasted on his Instagram or whatever social media. But there's an invitation also for him to come, and he's coming. So he'll be here at 12 o'clock. He'll be outside, I believe. And maybe we can be out by that time. If there's still ministry going on, we can continue on. That's fine. But we've got time. So if you need to go, you're not taking part, we'll dismiss you now. If you need prayer, now's the time. And we're going to allow for this ministry to take place. So, brother, go ahead.
All right. Take two more minutes and explain why we start praying for people. Here's what the Lord said. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I was doing healing school. I have a healing school. I have a 20-hour healing school course I do. And I was teaching my healing school course, and I said, you'll lay hands on the sick, and they shall be healed, because all the modern versions say that. All the modern verses say, you lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. And the Lord said, no, recover. And I said, what's the difference? He says, big difference. And this will change your whole attitude with healing. He says, because 2,000 years ago, according to Isaiah 53, verse 5, when Jesus was on the cross, when Jesus had been whipped before he went to the cross, the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. When did all healing take place? 2,000 years ago. And the Lord said, you see, Mike, if you want to be in agreement with me for healing, understand, you are already healed. All healing in every human being took place 2,000 years ago during the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why your pastor's so adamant about the cross. That's why I'm so adamant about the cross. Faith starts and finishes and has to be focused on the finished work of the cross. Amen? Now, I want you to get hold of this, because if you get this and get a revelation, it'll change your life. So when whoever is laying hands on you, any believer, I could call anyone. I could call this young lady and say, you're going to have a miracle service right now. If you're born again, right? So I can say to this young lady, I could say, I'm not going to pray for anyone today. You're going to pray for them all. And miracles will be done when you lay hands on people. And she said, what, me? Well, you're a believer. According to the Bible, any believer can lay hands on the sick. Amen? Amen? See, this can happen. This can happen. Amen? And maybe it'll happen in a couple minutes. And maybe whatever anointing's on me will get on you, and all of a sudden you can have it for the rest of your life. That's how it works. Amen? But so, how many, if you need a healing, you need a healing. Something's going on in your body. Why don't you come on up here? Why don't you just come up here? You need prayer of any kind, because it's not just healing, it's any prayer. Everything you and I will ever have need of was accomplished, finished at the cross. Amen? That's 2,000 years ago. You already are healed. You already have your answers. Amen?
So those that are coming forward, can you step forward so people can get in behind you?
Yeah.
And also for those of you that are part of the LAMP team, elders, I want you to also to come to pray. Or if you feel you're a believer, you're going to do it according to the word of God. Those that believe, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I knew there was a few needs here today. I knew a few people needed prayer today. And this is good. This is what church is about. That we get a chance to pray, lay hands. Now, here's something about laying hands on the sick. You are healed. Say, I am healed. Already. Done deal. I am healed. Now, watch this now. When we lay hands on you, it doesn't matter what you feel or don't feel. The promise has already been established. Say, I am already healed. Amen? And so when we lay hands on you, we're just being obedient to God. He says, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And when we lay hands, we're just obedient to God. We're praying in agreement to the Word of God. And the guarantee is that you will recover. Amen? Amen. See, sometimes we've been focused so much on what did I feel, what did I didn't feel. I didn't feel nothing. I didn't feel something. I felt something. I had a little old lady one time come to a Sunday night service. And she was just very, and she had cancer all in her lady parts. But she was too embarrassed to tell me where the cancer was. So you know all I did? I said, that's okay, honey. I just laid my hands. I said, Lord, whatever it is, heal it. That's all I did. It was serious. It was death. It was like life and death to her. And you know what happened? Didn't see her for 3 months. And she came back 3 months later. She comes up to me and says, Pastor, the cancer's almost all gone. Amen? I didn't even know what I was praying for. But she was recovering. Amen? And I want you to keep making sure that you understand this is God's will for you. This is what God wants to do for you. He never wants to keep things away from you. He wants to get everything to you. All God's promises are yes and amen. Amen? All God's promises are yes and amen. Amen? And so if you want to tell me what it is, I'm going to put my mic down because this is between you and God. And if you want to say what it is, that's great. But, you know, I'm just going to lay hands on you. And I'm going to believe, according to the Word of God, lay hands on the sick, you will recover. Amen?
Pastor Joel here. Thanks again for tuning into this sermon podcast. Just a reminder to come join us 10 a.m. Sundays, either in person or live streamed at lighthouseniagara.com. God bless and have a great day.